Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy. Proudly sponsored by Hum Finance. Why wait? Get it now. Split your payments with Hum. Visit shophum.com. Flexify Europe Limited, trading as Hum, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, we want to give a huge shout out to our current show sponsors, Hum. Now, with Hum, you can spread the cost of purchases up to €30,000 when buying online or in store through any of their retail partners. Now, it can help you manage your finances and make larger purchases more affordable. And with Hum, it's so simple. You can get approval through their website at shophum.ie. That's shophum, H-U-M-M.ie. Or apply directly in store, and they've so many retail partners, like for example B&Q, DFS, Harvey Norman, DID Electrical, Easy Living Interiors, and so much more. And you literally can apply in store. Now, keep in mind that Hum is a form of credit, and it's important to consider your ability to repay the amount borrowed, but you can rest assured that Hum is regulated by the financial regulator, unlike some other companies that let you spread payments. And we would like to thank Hum for being the current sponsors of the Opinions Matter podcast. I've something to ask you about. I've been meaning to ask you all week, and I wanted to. This is quite a serious thing, actually. As you know, over the last while, there's been a lot of talk over the Annie McCarrick murder investigation.
The reason he's mentioned is we just on our way out to record this podcast today, and I genuinely didn't know that you were going to mention this because we had this conversation on the phone already. Adrian rang me when we were on our way out to record this podcast, and the topic of Annie McCarrick came up on the phone because it's all over the news at the moment.
Yeah.
And did you know my connection to Annie McCarrick?
No, I did. I remember in the past you telling me about it, but you knew and worked with Annie McCarrick.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't know.
Nobody would know because I've never mentioned it outside my family. No, and some people would know because of what happened last year. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah. I want to find it. So you were working in
Can I just say I was not the person arrested? I have to be very clear about
very
that.
Very clear, yeah, okay.
Very clear about that.
But you worked in a... We're going back to 1993.
Yeah.
And you worked in a restaurant, I think it was...
Had you told me we were going to talk about this, I might have had better plan with like dates
let's
and stuff
just,
like
let's
that.
Just deal with it, okay? 1993, you were working in a restaurant called The Courtyard. Was that in Donnybrook?
It was in Donnybrook. It's where Marco Pierre White's is now in Donnybrook, which is on Belmont Avenue. I worked there. I started working there from 1990. The reason I know that, and when I was interviewed by the guards about this, they asked me how did I know when I started working there? And the reason I know is because the week I started working in that restaurant as a waiter, I was a waiter first of all, Scalacci was scoring goals for Italy against Ireland. So it was Italia 90. And I remember in the restaurant they had television screens put up so the customers could watch Italia 90. So I started there in 1990, the summer of 1990. So Annie McCarrick joined the company in 1993, joined the restaurant. Now you have to remember, a restaurant is not like a business where you've the same staff working there for 15 years. And the restaurant is high turnover. So like I would imagine in the time that I worked in that restaurant, thousands of staff came and went. But Annie McCarrick did work with me, yes.
Okay, so she came to Ireland at the start of 1993. She moved over here, and my understanding is she had a couple of different jobs. Well, one of the jobs that she had and you worked with her was in that restaurant called The Courtyard. So what do you remember about her?
Put it this way, I didn't know enough to know that she had other jobs. I only knew that when I watched the documentary. I genuinely didn't know. I knew that she'd come over to Ireland. Was it on a visa or something like that? I knew that she was American because at the time, she was the only American member of staff in the restaurant. So she had a very strong American accent. So she was the only member of staff there with an American accent. So she obviously stood out. Excuse me. And what do I remember about her? Again, I remember that she was a work colleague and that she was happy to be in Ireland. She was delighted that she'd come over. I assume with her surname she had some sort of Irish connection.
Yeah, I assume so as well. I've always assumed that. So would you have known her? Would you have talked to her? Would you have had much acquaintance with her?
I would have known her as much. By the way, this is mad. And I'm sort of going back on myself because I've been interviewed twice by the Gardaí about this. Not, by the way, as a suspect, I just want to say, because they interviewed everybody that came across her. And, my mouth's gone dry. And it's funny when the guards ask you questions so many years. It's funny when the guards ask you questions.
Do you want to just have that bloody cough and get it out of the way?
Get the cough out of the way. No, but it's funny when the Gardaí ask you questions about something that happened in 1993, like you're supposed to remember, and you're asking me, did I get on well with her?
Did you ever have a conversation with her?
Yeah, we would have worked the same. So in the restaurant, the restaurant was split into sections and different waiters were assigned to different sections. So I would have worked in the same section. And I obviously would have had conversations with her, not in-depth conversations or anything like that, but conversations, work-related and stuff like that. I did talk to her the day before she disappeared because in the restaurant, we would often talk about, you know, if you had a day off the next day, you would often, you know, if there was a bit of quiet time in work, you'd often say, Jesus, Annie, you're off tomorrow, aren't you? What are you planning on doing? And she'd said that she was going traveling somewhere or she was visiting somewhere or whatever the case may be. And again, the guards were asking me at the time last year specifically what she said. And I'm like, when someone has a conversation with you before something happens,
You don't write it down.
You don't know how important that conversation is going to be in later life. But she did say that she was off. She was off the next day, and she was. And sadly, she was never seen again.
Now, you were interviewed by Gardaí just as somebody who worked with her in that restaurant, the Courtyard. And what sorts of questions were they asking you? What do they want to find out from you?
So when it happened, it was obviously huge news in 1993. And when it happened, they obviously came in and interviewed everybody that had... Well, I assume... I subsequently found out that they actually didn't speak to everybody, I don't think. Because you have part-time staff. I was part-time there. You've staff coming and going and the whole thing. And I suppose the Gardaí investigations and stuff like that have improved so much more than they had back then. I mean, you think about it now. If you walk, say the restaurant we worked in, if that was now, there would be video evidence of Annie McCarrick every step of the way that you made that day. No matter where you go in Dublin, you will be caught on CCTV. That wasn't the way back then, so that's why they weren't able to trace. But they did interview me. I barely remember, I'll be honest, I barely remember the questions that they asked back in 1993. Barely remember. But I got a call then about a year ago. And in fact, I remember telling you because I couldn't do the podcast that day. Mm-hmm. And I said, you said to me, why can't you do the podcast? I said, I've been called in by an interview by the guards. And I wasn't a suspect or nothing like that. They were just trying to track down as many people that worked with her in the restaurant because that's where she worked at the time she went missing. So they wanted to find out as much information. And, you know, for those of you who have ever been interviewed by the guards about anything, they keep on asking, no matter how small the detail.
Going over it and over it and over.
I told him a few small details. One, and I'm not at liberty to discuss it now. One small detail that they weren't aware of, which is bizarre. So they only found out this small little detail last year from me. And again, I didn't think it was important. But he said, the guard at interview said it might be important. But yeah, the interview lasted for about 40 minutes. And the funny thing is,
and this was last year when they were reopening the case, basically, as a murder investigation.
Yeah, they did. So basically, from my understanding of it is that Annie McCarrick's mother is not getting any younger and she needs bloody closure. Like, that's the whatever. That's the terrible thing when a family member, if a family member dies and you know they're dead and you can bury them in a coffin, you can get closure and then you can go and visit them. But when they've literally disappeared without a trace, you're waking up every day, I suppose, waiting for that phone call to happen, and it never comes. And I guess that's what the mother wants or and asked for, closure.
It's Ireland's most talked about podcast, the only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Need something now but want to spread the cost? With Hum, you can shop at thousands of stores with easy, flexible payments. No hidden fees, no stress. Apply today at shophum.com. More life for your money. Flexify Europe Limited, trading as Hum, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Her dad, who back in the 90s put up 150,000 euro to help the investigation, which is an awful lot of money at that time, he has since passed away. So there's only her mother left. She was an only child as well. Can you remember then at the time when she didn't turn up for work and she had essentially disappeared and a missing persons investigation was launched?
No, because I wasn't on for the next couple of days as far as I can remember, because we all had to be called in to work on our days off because the guards were interviewing. Now, I can't remember after how many days of that visit that she made. Wasn't it Enniskerry? Because she was spotted in Johnny Fox's as well.
No, she wasn't, though. That's the thing. That's all been discounted now.
Oh,
she,
really?
Enniskerry has been discounted. Johnny Fox's has been discounted.
I watched a documentary about that.
The last proven sighting of her was in Quinsworth in Sandymount, the day she
did
shopping.
Where she got the bag of shopping,
and she went and brought the shopping back home. But they've since discounted any visit to Enniskerry or any visit to Johnny Fox's, because allegedly she got the bus to Enniskerry and what, walked to Johnny Fox's? That's some bloody walk.
No, you wouldn't.
And the claim was that she was going to see a trad session in Johnny Fox's, but she would have arrived in Enniskerry at 5:30 to go to a trad session at 9 o'clock at night. That makes no sense either.
That doesn't make sense.
So they've discounted all of that now.
Yeah.
So literally the last known official sighting of her was in Quinsworth in Sandymount. It's now Tesco's in Sandymount. Even the CCTV taken at AIB Bank in Sandymount was found to be 11 days old, 11 days before she went.
That was actually one of the things that came up in the interview that I did with the Gardaí. I'd watched the documentary a couple of weeks before that, and she went to AIB Bank, and I thought that was strange because when you worked in this restaurant, your banking was all done through permanent ESP. That's the way it was back then. So when you started in a job, you didn't get to choose what bank the wages went into. The wages were all, that's crazy. That's how I'm still with permanent ESP.
To this day.
That was my first ever job. And the only place your wages could be paid into was permanent ESP. So you had to set up a bank account with permanent ESP. The guards didn't even know that, which is bizarre. I had to tell them that.
So since then, obviously.
But sorry, just getting back to 1993, there were people that worked there that were a lot. I wasn't close with them. I'm not even going to claim that I was. But there were people, one or two members of staff, that were closer to her. And the guards, I asked the guards how they managed to track these people down. You have to remember, lads, 1993, people have got married, they've left the country, they may have their married name now, they've moved on with their life. The guards did manage, as far as I know, to track down and interview people who were actually closer to her. So that's a good thing. But again, you know, I was being interviewed for half an hour. There was very little that I could
contribute to the whole thing.
That I felt I could, and I wanted to do something because I actually haven't spoken, and I have never spoken about this. Never had the opportunity, I suppose, because it was kind of forgotten about, wasn't it? And it just came up again this week, and it just brought all the memories back. Like, it's so.
It's obviously a story. I mean, it's one of the mysteries of
I've never heard anybody else been interviewed
who actually met her or knew her.
Who actually met her or knew her. And she did know people. Like, she worked in this restaurant, and I'd say, off the top of my head, say the amount of staff working in that restaurant at that given time could have been 50 people. You know, and she would have met them because she was quite chatty, you know. So she did know a lot of people.
So what I was about to say to you is obviously because you knew her, you worked with her, you're not claiming to have known her well, but you would have been aware then about her disappearance and the guards questioning people.
Oh yeah,
so that story is obviously,
I followed the story. Yeah,
that's what I was about to say. That story has obviously stuck with you all these years.
Oh, completely. It's mad being part of, and again, I don't mean being part of it, but yeah, I suppose being part of a story that's
one of the great mysteries of
that's one of the great mysteries. And like, I'm in a WhatsApp group with some of the staff that used to work together. We managed to track each other down And we talk about that the odd time. God, isn't it terrible what happened? It's just these mystery things. You'd feel so sorry for the family, wouldn't you? That they have no...
I mean, it's awful. I feel so terribly sorry for her dad. Yeah. Her dad passed away without ever knowing what happened to his daughter, which is terribly sad.
Just on a lighter note, if you can be a lighter note on this subject, when I did get called... By the way, we all got called in by the Gardaí to do... an interview with them, and we all went in to do it separately, obviously. And it's funny, when you go in, if any of you have ever been interviewed or even questioned by the Gardaí about anything, even if you're 100% innocent, it's like the same feeling, you know, when you're going to America and you get stopped by, what are those lads called at the desk?
Immigration.
And you know when they say to you, sir, how many nights will you be staying in the US of A? And you start stuttering, and you know how many nights you're going to be there for. And like then they say to you, I remember them interviewing me saying, is your trip business or pleasure? I knew it was pleasure. I was going on my holidays, and I start stammering to him. And I was kind of the same with the guards. The guard that interviewed me, the detective last year. Lovely, lovely fella. But there's always something in the back of your head that you think that he's trying to catch you out. And he kept having to say, listen, you're not a suspect or anything like that. I just want to know, have you have any information that could possibly help? I just found it traumatizing. I really did find it traumatizing because you think that he's trying to pick up, because they're trained to pick up on things. But hopefully the information I gave, I don't know if the information I gave was of any use, but I did the best I can, because it really is awful. I said, to think that a few of us had that conversation with her the day before, you know, what are you doing on your day off? And that was it. And I know everybody has theories as to what happened, which we can't get into now, wouldn't be fair to get into. But geez, just for a bit of closure.
Well, hopefully this intense investigation that is going on right now will yield some results and give Annie's mother ultimately the closure that she deserves before she passes away.
Yeah, so she was 27 when she disappeared.
I was the same age as her at the time.
Yeah, I would have been a lot younger. A lot younger.
A bit younger.
But isn't it bizarre that I've never heard anybody being interviewed that knew her? And she must have known
so many people.
Mm. Do we know how long she was living in Ireland before she took the job where I worked?
Only a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Only a few months.
It's a bizarre situation, and hopefully her mother will actually get answers, because... As a parent, I assume, no, I've never been in this position, hopefully I never will be, that you're just like the McCanns. You're just waiting.
You'll never rest until you find out the answer.
No, you're just waiting. Every time the phone rings in the house, I'm sure it's, here's the answer. And I do know this, the Gardaí they put a lot of manpower and a lot of man hours into, so it's not a closed, is that what it's called, a cold case?
Yeah, but they reopened it as a cold case because they literally started the investigation all over again. And that's how, somehow along the line, they've turned it into a murder investigation rather than a missing person, which it was for many years.
Yeah, and somebody out there, clearly, this isn't guesswork, by the way, somebody out there knows the truth, don't they?
Absolutely.
They would have to, if a person's still alive. Someone out there knows what happened. But as I said, if that was nowadays... you'd have, like, if you look at the what happened to that poor girl, Justine Valdez, wasn't that scary? It was the back road at the Summerhill Hotel, using CCTV. And that's, I know a lot of people give out about CCTV and Big Brother's watching you, but my God, the things they can find out. That girl, Justine Valdez, that was abducted up at the back of Enniscary, they were able to find out pretty quick what happened to her, because they were able to, like, when you drive from this studio to your house, you'll be captured on about 60 different cameras. Yeah. And that is a good thing. That's a good thing.
All right. Thanks very much.
It was weird talking about that.
I've always wanted to talk to you about that. And just that this story has been in the news with that arrest and everything else. It'd be nice if Annie's mother can get closure and somebody actually gets brought to justice for her disappearance or murder.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously... We don't have any news just yet, but the positive thing is that the guards are working on it again. So that is a good thing. It's actually been quite lethargic. Is that the word?
Lethargic?
No, that's tardive.
That means lazy.
No, to talk about it. What's it when it's...
Cathartic.
Cathartic is the word.
That's the word.
That's why I have you here for the big words. No, but it actually has been cathartic talking about this because it's not something I really... And if you have asked me before we recorded this podcast, will you talk about it? I would have said no. Partly because I don't have that much to add other than I worked with her. But it's just a weird, weird situation, isn't it, when you worked with someone who disappeared like that? Like, it's bizarre. Anyway, thanks for bringing it up.